2202.
Remember the fall of the Berlin Wall. It's a different foe that we're fighting now, terrorism, and certainly Afghanistan, and what the plan is still looms large. There have been rumors now leaking out to the opposite effect of how many troops will actually be approved by the president. Member McChrystal asked for 40,000. I heard from a Pentagon source a month and a half ago that it was going to be much less, maybe, if lucky, 20,000. Now we're hearing the rumor that suddenly things have changed and it might be the full 40,000. Wonder what happened. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, America Tonight, the name of the show, if you just tuned in, cruising down whatever highway you happen to be on, laying in bed, figuring out why you can't sleep. We're glad that you joined us. Or maybe you're just a night owl like the rest of us. Trust me, if I weren't doing this show, I'm sure I would be burning up the midnight oil with everybody else hanging out, too, just not behind the microphone. Strange thing happened. There's this weird media blackout following Netanyahu and the Obama meeting. This is a big one. The prime minister canceled what he normally would do with the Israeli press, always having briefings a lot. He's known for that. And Barack Obama scrapped a bunch of planned radio interviews as well. So they're now talking about, does this reaffirm the U.S. commitment to Israel's security? And hearing, of course, as I said, of Afghanistan, it makes you wonder what's going on. And then some of the recent developments with Iran as well. So never take our eye off the ball, because we are certainly fighting and still have troops in Afghanistan 8 years and going, and Iraq just pulling some out back in June, but still have many other soldiers that are there, maybe not patrolling the same areas, but there are still soldiers that are in that country that are waiting to actually, in some cases, be pulled back. And so it reminds us, in talking of deployments, the fact that Major Hassan was supposed to be deployed to Afghanistan, not Iraq as was originally thought and was reported. I think Kay Bailey Hutchinson did an interview, the senator from Texas, where she had gotten some early scattered information, of course, because everything was happening at once from Fort Hood. But they believed it was Iraq, but it's not. It was Afghanistan, where the major was headed as a medic, did not want to go, made that clear to people that knew him. More and more pieces are being assembled as to this guy's personality. It's clear that he was not on board with Muslims in the military from a lecture he gave in 2007 and things that he spewed to other people, and, of course, now information on websites. But the information is very close, so much so that you have senators and congresspeople asking for more information, and they're not getting it. You know there's going to be an investigation. Joe Lieberman, the senator, the independent senator from Connecticut, of course, has talked about that, and I'll be very curious as to what some of the details are that come out of it. And it when we talk about the information that now, through people who worked with Hassan going years back and up to currently in the last couple of weeks, why nothing was said. There weren't enough red flags raised that anybody wanted to say anything, for what, fear of their job, for complaining, for saying this seems a little bit off. You know, where is that line that you cross over? I mean, how many of us have been in a work environment? You know, the old joke, and it's a sad joke because of the things that happened with some postal workers. But, so-and-so, you know, everybody has a list. So-and-so could go postal. You know, I've already got my exit strategy. I can't tell you how many places. I don't know, maybe it's a thing with broadcasting where people would say, I've got my exit strategy. I know what's happening here. But at what point do you cross over that line and say, listen, this guy's a colleague, here's what he's saying, here's what's going on? Because if somebody did cross over that line, maybe what happened at Fort Hood wouldn't have happened. And he wouldn't be in the military, because clearly he was conflicted no matter what about serving, about being there, and certainly about being a devout Muslim. And now, and you know, to the extreme radicalization point? Where did he become radicalized? At what point did that happen? And who didn't say what? I'm glad there's an investigation because some of this should roll forward, because I think some heads should roll, frankly, because of the people who now are burying children. I mean, really, basically children, some of them in their 20s, 21 years old. And this is pretty much what you're, it's not pretty much what you're hearing across the board, but in some cases, you're certainly hearing that, because the PC police are definitely on board with, whoa, let's back off here. You know, you don't want to go in this direction. That's a bad way to go. It's not a bad way to go. What is, you can't deny. If it's out there and we know it's true, and we know there are people that are coming forward that are saying it, we know there's documentation of a wackadoodle presentation that an army psychiatrist, the major, was making that was supposed to be on medication or treatment for mentally ill people, but instead it was a slideshow of how Muslims should not be serving in the military. Somebody dropped the ball. It's clear. And it certainly should be reported. Clearly, there's a record of this, and it's been reprinted, so we know these are his words. Nobody's making anything up here. Here's what one guy said. I happen to see this on many of the cable stations. Of course, everybody's being interviewed. We're going to have a couple of experts on in the next couple of days here, one about safety with the military and on these bases, and the other one about terrorism and then the ties here. But here was Steve Emerson. I think he was on Fox and he was on CNN as well, talking about Fort Hood and moving forward what we've learned, obviously, from this incident.
Well, as soon as he's cognizant enough, I assume he's going to be charged. At that point, he'll be read his rights, and that includes the right to remain silent and be given also legal counsel. So the question is whether he's going to waive his rights or not, and at what point he'll be charged. I assume that will be done in the next 24 to 36 hours, considering that he's talking to medical personnel right now. The question about whether he's an Islamic terrorist is a very good one. I mean, and in fact, I spoke to the ranking Republican chair of the House Intelligence Committee, Pete Hoekstra, this morning, who was fuming that the Director of National Intelligence, Dennis Blair, would refuse to give him a briefing about the signals and the activities of Malik Hassan in terms of what could be construed as patterns showing somebody who was an active Islamic extremist prior to carrying his rampage. Well, if in fact the intelligence community was not monitoring it, and if intelligence inside the military was not monitoring it, then there was a major dereliction of duty here. And I think that heads should roll, because those postings, which, as you say, most likely are attributable to Malik Hassan, clearly indicated that he supported suicide bombings, right, and even made statements himself to colleagues that he supported suicide bombings against U.S. soldiers.
All right, so see, there you go. And you could hear in the direction that he was going that, is what we've all been saying, if you have this evidence, there's no deniability in it. So people who knew, somebody should be held responsible for at least not stepping forward. There should be zero tolerance policy. Many people have been bounced for the military for many, many things. And this would absolutely constitute, whoa, we better examine why he's here. Coming up on the flip side, going to talk about John Allen Muhammad. Remember that name? The U.S. Supreme Court refuses to stop his execution. He was the sniper that terrorized D.C. and Virginia and Maryland. And what about his teenage accomplice? We'll talk about that in a second. And kids and life sentences, fair or foul. Stay with us.
AirAndAqua.com is your one-stop shop for some of the most affordable air and water purification systems available on the market today. AirAndAqua.com knows exactly what doesn't belong in our air and our water, and they know exactly how to help you rid your home or office of these harmful toxins. Did you know that your skin actually absorbs more chlorine while you shower than from the water you drink? AirAndAqua.com can help you eliminate dangerous chlorine from your water. AirAndAqua.com carries atmospheric water generators, glass water bottles, chlorine-reducing shower filters, air purifiers, water ionizers, filters that remove up to 95% of the fluoride in your water, whole house water purification systems, solar-powered lawn and garden products, water testing kits, and more. Visit AirAndAqua.com. That's Air and AQ. UAAqua.com or call 1-866-380-2782. That's 1-866-380-2782. AaronAqua.com. Purify your life today.
Did you know the dollar has lost 10% of its purchasing power in the last 90 days? Ever think about how inflation will change your life, your savings, your retirement plans? Let's put it another way. Who cares if your investments go up 10% but you lose 40% of your purchasing power? Gold still buys the same amount of stuff it always did. Gold does not require trust in a third party. You can possess it in your hands. You can take it with you. Gold is real money, honest money. My name is Daniel Larson from Midas Resources. To find out how you can protect yourself and your retirement savings in the days ahead, call me at 800-686-2237, extension 134. That's 800-686-2237, extension 134. 800-686-2237, extension 134. 800-686-2237, extension 134.
What's so crazy about not starving?
To cover yourself and your family in the event of accidents or emergency, you may have home, life, auto, dental, and health insurance.
But what about food insurance?
Water and food are vital to human survival.
So what's so crazy about not starving?
Foodinsurance.com has designed emergency packs and kits with at least 2 weeks' worth of great-tasting food and clean water. Most Foodinsurance.com meals are freeze-dried,
which means they'll last and retain nutritional value up to 10 years.
Foodinsurance.com meals like lasagna, beef stroganoff, and other tasty entrees are quick, delicious, simple to prepare, and start at just $199.99.
The low cost is just one reason to get foodinsurance.com.
Need more reasons? Foodinsurance.com kits come with a lightweight, high-quality backpack and a free utensil tool. Go to foodinsurance.com or call 1-866-9-GOT-FOOD. That's 1-866-9-GOT-FOOD. Get protected at foodinsurance.com.
Perfect for what we're jawing about here on America Tonight. Hey, everybody. I'm Kate Delaney, and happy to be with you as always, the captain of this ship with some pretty rough waters lately, the stuff we've been talking about. Promise we will lighten the load at some point in this show. We all need reasons to smile lately, don't we? Okay, I am actually smiling about this. The Supreme Court, I'm not surprised, has refused to block the scheduled execution of the sniper guy, mastermind, if you will, John Allen Muhammad, who is behind the killings of the 10 people, because actually 10 people were killed in this 2002 across Maryland, Virginia, Washington, D.C. He had a teenage accomplice, if you remember, Lee Boyd Malvo, and he was sentenced to life. They were also suspected of some fatal shootings in a couple of other states. People forget that. In the South, Louisiana, Alabama, and Arizona. So Muhammad still has that one last Hail Mary, a clemency petition before Virginia's Governor Timothy Kaine. I wouldn't hold my breath. Virginia, I'm sure, I would be stunned if they didn't. They're going to execute him. His lawyer is arguing, hey, Virginia is going to execute a severely mentally ill man who also suffered from Gulf War syndrome the day before Veterans Day. I say foul on that because, again, what about the victims, the 10 people? I don't think so. I mean, there's no question he was sick in the head for what he did, but I think that, again, is the desperate Hail Mary plea. Now, in looking at the Lee Boyd Malvo end of it, he gets the life sentence, but something that's being challenged, and the Supreme Court is actually kind of divided on this. They were wrestling with this on Monday as to whether teens can be actually locked away forever for their crimes. That why should this be that maybe it's not fair? There were, in particular, and two cases involving Florida men who were serving life prison sentences with no chance of parole for what they did as teenagers. Their lawyers are arguing that the sentences for people that young are cruel and unusual, and they actually violate the Constitution because young people have greater capacity to change. So this is the deal. Justice Anthony Kennedy wrote the Supreme Court opinion 4 years ago that ruled out the death penalty for people under 18. Some people think that they should get the death penalty, too. Like, again, Lee Boyd Malvo, and he was also a trigger guy in the sniper murders, judging them less responsible than adults. So a lot of people are wondering about Justice Kennedy this time around, as the court considered whether to extend that rationale to life without parole sentences. I don't think Kennedy really budged and gave too much of a hint other than to say it might be difficult to distinguish between the juvies and the adults in cases that don't involve the death penalty. Oh, boy. This is such a slippery, slippery slope. And I'm asking you, fair or foul, imagine a loved one is killed by a gang of teenagers. Do you want to see them ultimately paroled within a handful of years, or do you think it's fair that they should have life in prison? Let me give you some examples. Here's one. Two cases before the court, Joe Sullivan sent away for life. What did he do? Raped an elderly woman when he was 13, and then this Terrence Graham implicated in armed robberies when he was 16 and 17. So Graham is 22. Sullivan, who raped the older woman, 34, they're the two that are in the Florida prison system. And, of course, in Florida, they hold more than 70% of juvenile defendants locked up for life for crimes other than homicide. So you could look, of course, at the crimes and what they did and their ages at the time of the crimes. Sullivan was, should he be considered for parole for what he did at his age? He was 13 years old or not. So what his lawyer is saying is to say that any child of 13 that you are only fit to die in prison is cruel. And they're wrestling with this as to what the deal is, because death is off the table and death is obviously different. But and also in talking about things other than homicide, but wonder if they will lift this and say, this is something to look at. Wonder if the justices ultimately will say that you cannot have life sentences for juveniles, and then of course you'd have to go through maybe a litany of crimes and maybe rule out some others. And how do you determine whether there's change or not? And then you think, what happens in the prison system? So ultimately that becomes the question. Should somebody who's 13, 14, 15, 16 that commits a crime, should they be given that second chance or no? I mean, look at the one case of what happened to the older woman, and the other case, the robberies and what happened in those robberies to those terrifying those people. You could go, obviously, case to case to case, but to have the Supreme Court completely lift it, I'd have to say no. I'd have to say that the capacity for change, you really, honestly, let's be serious about this, particularly how long somebody's been in a juvenile or how long somebody's been locked up and then thinking in moving forward when to parole them. As I said, I think a very slippery slope. So my vote is no. I think it stays as to where it is and then judge it by the crime and ultimately what a jury says, right? 800-259-5791. You might disagree or agree. 800-259-5791. Timely, as I mentioned, because of, and in this case we're talking about deaths, so with Malvo there wouldn't have been a question here, but he was a teenager when it happened, is sent away for life. There was no deal on that. There wasn't going to be a deal on that. And in the meantime, John Allen Muhammad, boom, gone. 2002 is when that happens. We'll look ahead, 2009. That's rapid. That's almost like when Bush was governor of Texas. It was try him and fry him, baby. If they were guilty, whoo, and it was a death sentence. It wasn't long before they were done. California, much different story, where it drags out a little bit longer, and they're getting three square and three square and three square. There actually is a pretty big movement ahead to try to, by, there's a big push by certain groups to repeal the whole death penalty thing and get that reversed, which, if you think back to the 70s when the death penalty was reinstituted, oof, I think that would be a mistake. You also might have some strong feelings about that, and I know that in the past people have had some pretty strong feelings about the death penalty and think that maybe life is the harshest that you should go. Rick is listening to us in Illinois. Hey, Rick.
Hello, Kate.
Hello.
Hello. Yeah, I think they should be just put to sleep. I mean, kill people like that. How are they going to reform them?
Well, see, that's what I think. How are you going to reform them? That's the question. So, whatever the nature of the crime, to lift the life sentence and then ultimately parole them, are we going to have these horrible regrets that you're going to have a repeat offender and they may do something worse? Who
yeah.
knows? Or repeat the same thing. So now you're risking other people on the other side of the wall, their lives. It's
uh-huh.
like, you know, this. It's like with the sex offenders, the ones who are the rapists and that murder the girls or murder the boys, little boys,
yep.
they get out. And then there's a repeat and we're also shocked. Oh, the Amber
yep.
Alert. Oh, thank goodness we have the Amber Alert. What do you tell those parents? Gosh, we're sorry that he got paroled. Look what happened. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Now, there's
I agree with you.
You know, just put him to sleep and maybe keep other people from thinking about doing something like that.
You know what? We're on the same side there, Rick. Thanks for the call. Rick says, maybe it's a deterrent. See, the argument, though, as I've talked to many who believe the opposite, they'll say, well, that's not really a deterrent. Because, look, how many people have been stopped from doing something so horrific, so disgusting and despicable, knowing what could be at the other line? How many people have been stopped as a result of that? Can you really point to it? But I think the more... the softer you go on crime, and this is a hardline approach, I think the more dangerous it becomes. And there are many, many statistics about rehabbing people and about coming out on the other side of the wall. And certainly, we're not talking about white collar crimes. We're not talking about crimes where they didn't hurt somebody. We're talking about some of the more vicious crimes, especially. 800-259-5791. Stay with us.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN, great talk radio starts here.
Men, are you urinating more frequently? Do you wake up to urinate? Don't ignore your prostate health. See your doctor for checkups and call for a free bottle of Beta Prostate. Beta Prostate is a natural supplement that helps your body support prostate health. Your prostate affects the quality of your life, including your sleeping habits and intimacy. Beta Prostate has plant sterols shown to support healthy urine flow and healthy sleeping habits. And Beta Prostate is so powerful, you'd have to take 100 saw palmetto capsules to get the same plant sterols found in one Beta Prostate. New customers can get a free bottle of Beta Prostate. You only pay shipping and handling. To get your free bottle of Beta Prostate, call 1-800-257-7201. That's 1-800-257-7201. This offer is for one free bottle per household. Call now and try Beta Prostate for free. Call 1-800-257-7201. That's 1-800-257-7201.
This is Alex Jones, and I want to tell you about the Ecola Blue Atmospheric Water Generator that produces pure drinking water right from the humidity in the air. No, this isn't science fiction. It's very real. I know because I use one every day in my own home, and it's available right now to you. Because you know exactly where your water comes from with Ecola Blue, you'll know what's in your cup. Clean, great-tasting water without all the pollutants. Get your family off the grid today by ordering your own Ecola Blue Atmospheric Water Generator for your home or business. Their best seller, the Ecola Blue 28, produces up to 7 gallons of water every day. The Ecola Blue 28 is easy to use and economical. Generate your own pure water from the humidity in the air. This system is free of chemicals and uses a multi-stage filtration system, including reverse osmosis, carbon filters, and ultraviolet lights. Order now and claim your water independence today by calling Ecola Blue at 1-800-691-6043. That's 1-800-691-6043. Or visit Ecola Blue on the web at www.ecoloblue.com today.
America is in deep, deep trouble because we don't know our rights. Let's get real freedom back into America by teaching and promoting the Bill of Rights with the 2010 Freedom Calendar. Why? Because our forefathers gave them to us. Because the Freedom Calendar is true patriotism in action. And because if you don't know your rights and use them, you may lose them. The Freedom Calendar is the best educational tool in over 200 years. It shows in detail how to use your rights, how to answer any bureaucrat, how to use your guaranteed rights for true freedom. The Freedom Calendar is the easy way to learn the proper use and function of each of our rights and is perfect for homeschoolers, business promotions, and fundraisers. Order your Freedom Calendar now for just $15, and discounts are available for bulk orders. Call 651-771-5234. Again, 651-771-5234. The Freedom Calendar. Know your rights or lose them. Order now while supplies last. Call 651-771-5234 today.
First, this was a terrible tragedy. Second, it's too early. It's premature to reach conclusions about what motivated Hassan. But it's clear that he was, one, under personal stress, and two, if the reports that we're receiving of various statements he made, acts he took, are valid, he had turned to Islamist extremism. And therefore, if that is true, the murder of these 13 people was a terrorist act. And in fact, it was the most destructive terrorist act to be committed on American soil since 9/11. But I want to say very quickly, we don't know enough to say now, but there are very, very strong warning signs here.
Yeah, like this one. How about the doctor who studied with Major Hassan and said that he would frequently say he was a Muslim first and an American second? And supposedly, this doctor, who anonymously has been talking to a couple people in the media, said that he and some other people, because he wanted to make it clear, did complain and nobody did anything. So good for the people who thought something was a little weird and said something, that not everybody had blinders on. You have to question what is the military thinking here, or specifically the Army brass. They have closed their eyes and buried their head in the sand to what seemed to be somebody who became radicalized for whatever reason and at whatever point in his life that was right there in their midst. And General George Casey, for one, seemed more concerned about what would the impact be on the Muslim soldiers. In fact, if you remember, and we let you hear that yesterday, he was on a lot of the Sunday shows, and he was saying it was a great tragedy, and it'd be a shame if our diversity became a casualty as well, because a diverse army gives us strength. But what do you say with an army who ignores an unstable extremist who aligned himself, obviously, with people who would kill Americans? There's a big problem in this, folks. I hope some of you are listening to this and understand this. It has nothing to do with railing against a Muslim in the army. Certainly not. It's quite clear. Again, classmates in a medical program saying they repeatedly heard Hassan make anti-American statements and justify suicide bombers. So give me a break with all of this defense. I mean, the army, once again, they turned their back on the situation, I guess, because of political correctness or in protecting other soldiers, afraid to have somebody come forward and be pointed out for the Pandora's box that can open up. And sure as we sit here and have this conversation, it has opened up Pandora's box because innocent people were killed on one of our bases in the United States of America, people who were going to serve in Afghanistan, in Iraq, and other places. It just boggles the mind. And let's hope that whoever in the Army ignored this or whatever desk it went across, if any, because some of those doctors complained. Let's hope that those heads roll. They should. The FBI and Army investigators getting these communications between Hassan and that extremist imam who's out of the country, who lives in Yemen and has websites that talk about killing Americans and is believed to have serious ties to Osama bin Laden. Again, if he's just acted alone, fine, that's what it is looking like. But regardless, it was clear what his motivations in his heart were based on so many of the things that we're hearing. Let's hope that he comes clean and says that. I hope he does, honestly. And let's see what they charge him with when it's all said and done. All right, so lots of opinions about, and certainly what, what happened here and what and what's going to happen in the future. Now, you just heard Joe Lieberman talking about, can we play that cut again? Can we play the Senator Lieberman cut again? This is the interlude.
First, this was a terrible tragedy. Second, it's too early. It's premature to reach conclusions about what motivated Hassan. But it's clear that he was, one, under personal stress, and two, if the reports that we're receiving of various statements he made, acts he took, are valid, he had turned to Islamist extremism. And therefore, if that is true, the murder of these 13 people was a terrorist act. And in fact, it was the most destructive terrorist act to be committed on American soil since 9/11. But I want to say very quickly, we don't know enough to say now, but there are very, very strong warning signs here that Dr. Hassan had become an Islamist extremist, and therefore that this was a terrorist act.
All right, so you heard the end part there, on the whole terrorist act thing, and I agree with Lieberman, so let's, again, cross your fingers that they follow the trail, they being the investigators, follow the trail and have some people held accountable, because perhaps, and I don't know that for sure that would have happened, but perhaps it could have been prevented based on some of the things that have been said and how long this was going on back to 2007. All right, in the meantime, we switch gears here because the other big thing, of course, is your health and my health. This affects every single one of us, every single one of us. Common denominator, doesn't matter who you are listening to this show or any other show, it affects all of us as to what happens with our health care system and health care reform or health insurance reform, because really that's what it is, the big chunk of it anyway. Here's what Lieberman talked about. This Lieberman talked about being the guy who wasn't going to go, who now that the Senate is dealing with health care, who would definitely not go the route of the public option. So Congressman Anthony Weiner was on Morning Joe. I thought it was pretty interesting. I happened to catch it on MSNBC. And he actually went after Lieberman and said he's ready to debate him about it. He talked about health care and talked about the historicness, the nature of the passage narrowly in the House over the weekend.
Well, I would have liked to see a completely different approach. You know, you and I have talked about this before. I think that we're doing this bank shot thing, a single-payer plan like Medicare, right, expanded to more Americans. But, you know, considering what we're up against, this is a pretty remarkable achievement. I mean, we had to do three things. One is make sure those that don't have insurance get it, so we're just not paying for them when they go into emergency rooms. The second thing is for people that have insurance, make sure they're treated well by their insurance companies. The third thing, the cost containment side, is that's what the public option fight is going to be all about.
Yeah.
And I think we did, on all three counts, we have a pretty good bill. It's not perfect, and there are some things in there that are problematic. But we're now basically in our red zone offense here, and we're getting very... It is inconsistent with common sense to say, I oppose something that is going to hold down costs for the taxpayers and hold down costs for residents of Connecticut. So, I mean, look, the insurance industry is a powerful force in Washington, and so is the status quo. But the audacity of saying, and I think that he's backed away from this some, I'm not even going to permit a vote on the concept. I mean, let's let a majority of the Senate decide this issue. I think it's a tough issue. For me, it's a ground ball. To me, it's an easy issue. If you want choice, if you want competition, you introduce this additional choice. And the CBO says it reduces costs a great deal.
And he's talking about, the congressman was talking about the CBO, the budget office, and what they tagged it at. We know with the House, it was $1 trillion. See, again, my thing is always, ultimately, what is the true cost of it, and what is it going to cost you and I, and how is this really going to spill out? And also, in saying that 60% of us want to see health care across the board, what kind of health care is it that we want to see? I mean, this debate over health care has been raging for over 60 years. 60 years, and if there was ever going to be universal, quotes, health care, it's 60 years, and now all of a sudden, whew, let's just ram this through, and without... Not a lot of self-examination over this. And self-examination, I say, what are the motivational factors between those in Congress and those in the Senate as well? And here's the thing. There are a lot of things that could stop this deal in the Senate, including abortion opponents in the Senate are really looking for some tough restrictions in the health care overhaul bill. That could be very, very shaky in the Democratic push to pass Obama's issue. I mean, this is his signature thing. On the campaign trail, you can re-rack it all the way along as to what he said, that there would be health care. But Planned Parenthood's unhappy with the abortion provision. There are a lot of people that are unhappy. And you have to think of how many people that are very much on the liberal side of things who voted for Obama who are not happy about this whatsoever. Senator Ben Nelson, a Democrat from Nebraska, said he can't support a bill unless it clearly forbids federal dollars from going to pay for abortions. And so he's weighing options, including offering an amendment similar to the one passed by the House this weekend. The House passed, in case you're not familiar with it, passed restrictions where they had to pay, rather, to get a health care bill, the price to pay to get the health care bill passed, because remember it was really narrow vote, 220 to 215, was this one part of the bill, this amendment about the abortions and not paying for the abortions. But there's been a huge backlash from many, many liberals who are threatening to vote against a final bill if that stays in. So Obama is nervous about this and says, hey, the legislation needs to find balance. He didn't want to have to come out and say anything about it, but he had to do it. And he said, I wanted to make sure that the provision that emerges meets the test, that we're not in some way sneaking in funding for abortions, but on the other hand, we're not restricting women's insurance choices. Ooh, I think this is going to be a tough one, even on that alone, to get through the Senate. Bad Boys coming up next on ATN.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
This is Jerry Pierce, the radio detective. Have you heard of the Millionaire Patriot? Well, you should. He has a free handgun and 5 days of firearm training waiting for you. That's right. You can attend 5 days of world-class gun training at Front Sight Firearms Training Institute and secure a 30-state concealed weapons permit, all for pennies on the dollar. Plus, if you act fast, the Millionaire Patriot will give you a free Springfield Armory XD pistol in the caliber of your choice. Now is the time you and your family need to be armed and trained to levels that exceed law enforcement and military standards. Front Sight provides such training without any boot camp mentality or drill instructor attitudes, and the Millionaire Patriot's paying his own money to help you get it. This is real. Thousands have already taken advantage of it, and you should too. Don't miss out. Secure a Front Sight defensive handgun course plus 30-state concealed weapons permit for pennies on the dollar. And get your free handgun. Go to frontsight.com today. That's FrontSight.com. Go to frontsight.com for your training and free gun.
Toxins are in our foods, and chemicals are in our air. Chemicals are in our water supply. We purify our air and we purify our water, and yet we forget to purify our bodies. Funny, our bodies continue to absorb these deadly toxins and chemicals every day. Isn't it time to make a change? Maybe a life change? Get rid of toxins and chemicals. Get the tea.com. Log on to getthetea.com and order your protection today. Our testimonies tell the truth. Getthetea.com. Or you can call us at 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. Cleanse from toxins and chemicals, lose some weight, and get free from unhealthy living. Order today at getthetea.com.
Familiar sports fans with this name, Larry Johnson, running back, yep, for the Kansas City Chiefs. Boy, they're having a crappy season, aren't they? But he's been embroiled in all kinds of controversy, and the latest one was just too much. See, this Twitter thing is getting a lot of people in trouble. He had some gay slurs on Twitter that were revealed. What was he thinking? Of course he's going to get in trouble. So here's the interesting thing. He is the bad boy this week of the show. And the interesting thing is he's released by a horrible team. This is the day he was due back from his second suspension in the past 12 months. But what's interesting here is there are a lot of teams that are faltering in the running game. And despite the baggage, he's going to be 30 on November 19th, too. I think that people who are looking for a running back, like maybe Chicago or another team, could easily want to pick him up. They're not going to care that he had some gay slur. They'll just tell him to say he didn't mean it and whatever else and blah, blah, blah. What happened was, in case you don't know, and this running back, this famous running back for Kansas City, his brush with controversy happened when he posted on his Twitter account a slur, like I said. He insulted followers and questioned the competency of his head coach, Todd Haley. So, of course, Haley's not going to, you know, think Haley's going to want him there. Haley said the final decision to cast him aside wasn't made until Monday before he came back. He said, we decided it was in the best interest of the Kansas City Chiefs organization to move forward at this time. Of course, he's had a rough year. He hasn't averaged very much for the Chiefs, who are 1-7, and all that quickness that he had in the past has sort of has flown out the door, but it's been a poor offensive line, hasn't helped much either. And again, he used the word fag on Twitter, and so that got reported all over the place. And you knew that it was probably lights out for him, especially with the relationship that he was having with his head coach anyway. But as I said, what's interesting is one man's trash is another man's treasure, because he'll probably end up on some other team. And here's what's happened in his past. In 2008, he was benched for three straight games for violating team rules, and NFL commissioner Roger Goodell also slapped him with the almighty suspension for a fourth game for violating the league's player conduct policy. He was sentenced to 2 years probation after pleading guilty to two counts of disturbing the peace. A woman accused him of throwing a drink on her. Another said that he had pushed her head at a Kansas City night spot, a hot spot. So there have been little things with him all the way along, and it was just inevitable that he wasn't going to stay as part of this team. And he had low production, and then the slurs and the public criticism of the coach and all that other sort of stuff made it easy for them to say, adios, muchacho. And that's exactly what they did. And he'll end up, who knows, Indianapolis, which would be a contender, Chicago, Houston, I don't know, maybe even Seattle. But he does count as the bad boy. He is sliced out of the Kansas City lineup. What a tough year it's been, obviously, for them. Since we're talking about sports for a second, because he ended up as the guy we pointed out, here's a crazy, crazy thing. You think of girls, right? Sugar and spice and everything nice. I guess that's the old days. That's the 50s. So not the 50s anymore. In Providence, Rhode Island, I happen to read this story. They're investigating a fight between members of these two soccer teams, the high school girls' soccer teams. They were throwing punches and pulling hair, and there was a brawl in the bleachers. And, you know, we live in the age of video, baby. Everybody has a cell phone. Everybody ends up on YouTube. There's nothing's private anymore. So, of course, the video was captured. There's about a minute left in a match between the two high schools, and the one team was leading. Of course, this is what always happens, tempers flare, 5-0, and then two players collided, and then fans were fighting in the bleachers, and there was a weird deal during an award ceremony, and who knows how the fight started, but the coach of the one team said, I'm not going to take the fall for that, and this video is making kind of a little bit of a sensation out of one of the players. Her name's Elizabeth Lambert. Trust me, you can go to YouTube and check it out. She was suspended. She grabbed a BYU player's ponytail and slammed her to the ground. So that, you know, again, that made highlight reels all over the place. And who said that women can't fight as dirty as men can fight? Like I said, I saw the video. Ooh. I don't know, Donovan, did you ever play, when you were in school, did you ever play soccer?
I did for a very brief period.
It's a rough game.
It can be if you do it right.
It can be if you do it right. So we have the one thing in Providence. And then you have this other thing with the hair-pulling soccer players, not to confuse them because I'm mixing up two games. I don't want people to be confused. There was the high school match, and then there was the college match. But I think soccer's rough. I had a friend that played soccer. I played tennis. I had a friend that played soccer, and sometimes we'd go to see the games. Oh, I would get clobbered if I tried to play soccer. They even have these adult leagues, and I've seen people that are just screaming at each other. And some of them are in great shape, but, man, when those feet go up and when I see when they're running down the field, I never, ever was a soccer player. So, and I don't know how they...
Nothing exciting ever happens in a soccer game.
Yeah, because look, a fight broke out. One in high school and one in college between BYU and New Mexico. Wow. So, elbows flying, colliding all over the place, hair pulling. And that one, so you can find both of these. So, if you're confused, you can find the high school brawl on YouTube. And I think you can find on Fox Sports probably the New Mexico-BYU fight. And you can clearly see in the one video the throwing the elbows and the players and the ponytail grab and the crashing to the ground and all that other sort of stuff. You know what I love is when there's like a heated moment and these are, you know, female athletes. So right away, somebody says, you gotta apologize. You better apologize. It's all over YouTube. So of course, oh yes, the statement has to be released by New Mexico. Oh, my actions were uncalled for. My emotions got the best of me and the apologies galore afterwards. Oh well. It's called yellow card, baby. And the one player was yellow carded for the collision thing, but that's what you do. Red card him. Get him off the field. Hello. We went to the soccer match and a real fight broke out. We could have given those women gloves. We could have watched them go at it in a ring. Can you imagine? And like I said, you know, I've got friends who played soccer, and I saw firsthand what that was like. You got to have your eyes wide open, I think, when you're playing that game, especially the further up you go in the ranks from when you're a kid, and you, as I said, and you move up in high school and then college, etc. It gets that much more competitive. Quickly, final thought here. A North Korean ship reportedly opened fire on a Southern Korean warship near that disputed border area. The South returned fire, in case you haven't heard this story, heavily damaging the North's boat before it retreated. So, of course, the U.S. is sending an envoy to North Korea for nuke talks. Interesting timing on all of that. So, wow, what a clash at sea that is. And ultimately, what do you think led to this exchange? Supposedly, wasn't everything nicey-nice with North Korea? What's changed here? I guess maybe it has something to do with the area the South Korean ship was in. But after months of these deliberations and the Obama administration accepting the offer to have the conversation with the North Koreans to send that group for direct talks on nuclear issues, this thing happens in the meantime. By the way, for the U.S., is going to be the first one-on-one direct talks with the North Koreans since Obama obviously took office in January. And the idea is to persuade the North Koreans to return to nuclear disarmament negotiations with the U.S. and, of course, the four others, Russia, China, Japan, and South Korea. Good luck on that one. You can flip me an email on any of the things that we've talked about or any of your thoughts on the show at americatonight.net.
I once went to be accused of taking part in a rumble.